Hey there, HR consultant. Are you feeling overwhelmed by websites? Does the thought of domain names and SEO make you break out in a cold sweat? Well, relax, because today we're tackling websites head on, proving they don't have to be a confusing, time-sucking monster. Instead, they can be an easy-to-use, cheap, and essential piece of your marketing and sales infrastructure. This is the Marketing Made Easy for HR Consultants podcast, a show to help independent HR consultants get a pipeline of perfect fit, high-paying clients without expensive adverts, time-consuming social media activities, or energy-sapping and monotonous networking meetings. I'm your host, Nick Paninsky, author of How to Land Your Dream Client, a book which explains everything you need to know to get every sale and client you ever want. And if that sounds interesting, then make sure to grab your copy from the Influential Consultant website today. That being said, let's get into today's show. Okay, so websites. Old news and unessential if you ask some people. And believe me, I've seen enough websites to know that lots of people believe that. But honestly, it couldn't be further from the truth. Websites are essential stuff. Your website is your 24/7 digital storefront. It's where potential clients go to judge your credibility, understand your services, and hopefully reach out for your expertise. What's more, it's where you can capture leads or potential clients, if you want to call them by another name, so that you can sell to them repeatedly until they either buy, die, or unsubscribe. Now, as a quick note, we'll get into email marketing in another episode of this podcast. Email marketing is essential stuff for your marketing infrastructure. But for now, understand that capturing leads for your mailing list is one of the most important things your website can do for you. There's a lot of work your website needs to do before that happens, though, and that's what we're going to cover today. Unfortunately, websites aren't all sunshine and happiness, as I'm sure you know. They're potentially expensive, they've got a time-consuming setup, and they need repeatedly updating and managing. But it is a worthwhile investment, as you'll soon see, hopefully. So right now, you might not have a website. Alternatively, you've got one, but you hate it and you're thinking of scrapping it. Either way, you might be thinking to yourself, where do I start? Well, there are two popular options. You've got a website builder like Squarespace, or you've got something much more flexible like WordPress. Either way, there are advantages and disadvantages for both approaches. When it comes to website builders, there's plenty of advantages. They're very easy to use. So something like Wix or Squarespace, they are drag and drop. They've got pre-designed templates, and it makes building a website a breeze, even for beginners. Equally, and this is very important, they're mobile friendly. So most of these websites, these Wix and Squarespace, they have responsive themes that ensure that your website looks great on any device. And this is also really important, they've got limited maintenance. You know, updates and security, they're handled by the platform. They happen in the background. You don't have to worry about them. You just focus on the content. However, it's not all plain sailing. There is limited customization on these websites. So obviously you do have the templates, but fine-tuning designs, that can be quite restrictive. Now that might not be a problem for you, but it may be a problem for you. It depends how flexible and how bespoke you actually want your website. This is a real disadvantage. It's called vendor lock-in. So switching platforms later on can be difficult. So if you build your website with Wix or Squarespace, you're kind of tied to them for the rest of the time that you want that website. If you decide to leave them and go somewhere else, you're probably going to have to build a whole brand new website. There's going to be scalability limitations. So as your website grows, you might hit storage limits, you might hit functionality limits. You might have to end up paying a hell of a lot more to host your website with them. And in terms of plugins and integrations to make things even more bespoke, well, there are limited options compared to something like WordPress, which has a vast ecosystem of available plugins. In case you don't know, a plugin is kind of like an app that you put on your phone. It enables you to do wonderful things with your website. Now, when it comes to WordPress, yeah, there's a lot of advantages. It is highly customizable. There are all sorts of themes, plugins, and code, and you can have ultimate control over every single aspect of your website. Equally, it's fully scalable. WordPress can handle websites of all sizes, from simple blogs to complex e-com stores. It's very SEO friendly. So WordPress offers various tools and plugins to optimize your website for search engines. And we'll come on to SEO very shortly and talk about what that is and why it's important to you. But yeah, WordPress is a lot more SEO friendly. You are more likely to get to the top of Google by using WordPress. The disadvantages though, yeah, it's a steep learning curve. If you want to use use WordPress effectively, you're going to need some technical knowledge, or you're going to need some patience and some YouTube channels and videos. Equally, maintenance. You are responsible for the updates, the security, the backups, and those can be time consuming. Finally, yeah, the security. With more control comes more responsibility for securing that website. And yet, there will be plugins for all these things that we've talked about. But obviously, that comes down to you. So which one do you choose? WordPress or the likes of Wix and Squarespace? Well, if you value ease of use, affordability, and a quick start, then it's all about WordPress and Squarespace. But if you want ultimate control, if you want scalability and SEO, then it's all about WordPress. So consider your technical skills, consider your budget, and consider your website goals to make the right decision. The next thing you might be thinking about is whether or not to hire someone to build your website for you. And there are advantages and disadvantages. So let's have a quick look at those. Firstly, professionals bring experience, they bring expertise, and they ensure, if you hire the right person, a high-quality website. Equally, if you hire someone else to do it for you, you're time saving. You're going to focus on your business while the pro handles the website creation and the maintenance. Equally, because they're a professional, because they're an expert, they can give you some real custom solutions. So they can tailor the website to your specific needs, your goals, any unique features and functionalities that you might want. And yeah, there are disadvantages to hiring a professional. Obviously, it's going to cost more. There's going to be a price tag, and that can depend, varying on the project scope, the complexity, also who you get to build your website for you. Also, can be quite annoying is communication and revisions. You know, if they don't quite capture what you're looking for, then you are going to have to spend a lot of time communicating your vision, and yeah, it can be quite time consuming. And then finally as well is finding the right fit. So finding a web developer, finding a copywriter who aligns with your budget, your style, your needs, that can also take time and effort. Alternatively, you might want to just build it yourself, right? And building yourself can be, as we've said, significantly cheaper. You make all the decisions from design to content, so it reflects everything that you want perfectly. And it's also, you know, a rewarding experience. It equips you with valuable skills. You can talk about it. It's cool to build your own website. Unfortunately, yeah, there's a time commitment. Creating a high quality website takes time, dedication, especially if you're not tech savvy. You will find yourself in the small hours on YouTube searching out how to add in specific plugins or how to move a menu by 2 millimeters. Equally, you might lack the design, the development, the SEO expertise, the copy skills to achieve your desired outcome. You know, when you think it looks good or reads well, it might not actually. Equally annoying is the maintenance burden. Keeping your website updated and secure, it becomes your responsibility. Ultimately, the decision depends on your budget, technical skills, your desired web outcome. If you're prioritizing affordability, control, and learning, then DIY might be the way to go. But if you value time, expertise, and a polished website, then hiring a professional is a worthwhile investment. Remember, a well-designed website is an asset to your business. So choose the approach that best sets you up for success. Okay, so we're going to talk about some basic layout and design tips. This is some really easy stuff, really quick wins, and the amount of websites that I see that fail this test is beyond me. So here we go. People have limited attention spans, and they also make assumptions, friend or foe. And this is true for websites too. People want to understand what's in it for them quickly, so they can invest more time reading your website or click off and go and find a solution elsewhere. And that probably means one of your competitors. And it's no surprise that people behave like this. Our brain's primary directive is to keep us alive, right? And one way it does this is to make sure that we don't waste energy on things which aren't relevant to us. So make sure your website tells your audience it's relevant to their needs quickly. There's three simple ways you can do this. Firstly, have a header photo relevant to what your target audience wants as an outcome. As an example, I did a website a long time ago for a local mechanics. They had the cover photo was just the local garage. What I changed it for was a smiling, clean, friendly-looking mechanic handing back the keys to a delighted-looking customer. That is the outcome that their audience wants. Their audience wants to get their car back fixed and repaired, and they want to be delighted with the work. So that cover photo indicates to any target audience who clicks onto the website, wow, this might be for me. Now, if you need some images to spice up your website, there's a website called Unsplash. It's a great resource of free quality images if you need some. Next up, you need a headline that explains what you do and who you do it for. Ideally, this will be super succinct. Check out my book on copywriting if you want to discover how to write headlines. Alternatively, Google will give you some excellent basic starting points. The final basic step you need to take for your website layout is to have a clear call to action so your audience know what you want them to do. This should be to contact you or to download your lead magnet. Your website is there to drive clients for you, right? Now, if you don't have a clear call to action, you might confuse your audience. They might not know what you want them to do. They might not know how to get in touch with you. And if you confuse, then you lose. So make sure it's super obvious. By this, I mean you might want to consider putting a bright red box in the top right-hand corner that says download this or call me or whatever it is that you want your audience to do. And then have this call to action, have it interspersed throughout the website. Have it every so often on each page. Have it on every page. Have this one call to action, i.e. to download your lead magnet or to get in touch with you repeatedly. That message will then sink into your target audience that is the action that you want them to take. Okay, we're going to talk about some more basics for layout and design. Firstly, mobile friendliness. This is essential in today's mobile world. If your website doesn't load properly for people using mobiles, then any mobile visitors will click off your website never to return. It's also important to have easy to use navigation, so intuitive menus, a logical structure, so people don't get lost or overwhelmed by options. If your website has an abundance of pages available to click on along the top of the website rather than laid out in a logical, easy to use menu, then you could be putting your leads off working with you. See, there's something called analysis paralysis, where you give someone too many options, they get overwhelmed, so they do none of them. And that means people will click off your website never to return. Next, you want to think about a professional design for your website. So we're talking here high quality visuals, consistent branding, a user-friendly interface. So if you can make your website look pretty, then do it. If you can't, hire someone to do it for you. Because if your website looks like it was built in the 90s, then people are going to assume that your advice, your service is old and stuffy and irrelevant. Next, we're going to talk about content, specifically compelling copy, valuable information that talks about the problems that you solve and the people you work with. Again, if you can do this, then do it. But if you can't or you don't want to, then hire a professional to do it for you. If you confuse your leads, they will click off your website, never to return. Finally, make sure your website is interspersed with professional and high-quality photos that reflect your brand and resonate with your target audience. It's even better if you've had a branding photo shoot, so you look awesome. If the images on your website are unattractive or old, then people will relate that feeling to you and your services. And, say it with me, they'll click off your website, never to return again. Okay, so let's talk about some must-have pages on your website. Firstly, there's an about page. This is where you share your story. People love to know who they're doing business with. So share who you are and then link that to why it's important for your audience. So when you talk about working in HR for 10 years, you can say something like, and that means I've got a hell of a lot of experience for you to lean on. Do you see how you've taken the point that you've worked in HR for 10 years, but then made it relevant for what your audience is looking for? Another example, when you talk about your dogs, if you have dogs, say something like, so you know I've got a caring side too, and I'm not some hard-nosed HR professional only worried about policy and procedure. This, you know, these examples, they help build a picture of who you are and why that's important for your audience. And that's important because, as I've said, people like to know who's behind the business, who they're doing business with, right? So as an example of that, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, he's got 14 million Twitter followers or X followers, whereas Apple only have 10. And there's a similar ratio for Elon Musk and X. People are interested in the person more than the company. Let me give you an example a bit closer to home. I bet you've got a personal LinkedIn profile, but I doubt you've got a company profile. And even if you do have a company profile, I bet you don't share many updates from it. People just aren't interested, right? Next up, services. This is where you clearly explain your offerings and the benefits for your target audience. You can do this as one page for each service or one page for multiple services. Ideally, you'll have a signature offer that you've named, so you're in an audience of one and you stand out against your competitors. This is something I talk about in my book as it helps with branding, marketing, and most importantly, signing clients. But either way, introduce your services by talking about the pain that your audience is facing so they can say, yeah, this is for me. This is the world that I'm in. Then talk about the benefits that your services bring and put those benefits in a real light for your audience so they understand how their life will be better after working with you. A simple way of doing this is to use the sentence, so that you. For example, if you're talking about a service for paperwork, you can say, you'll finally have access to every single template you'll ever need. So you'll never be scrambling around wondering what to say to an employee who you want to fail their probation. A page you might want to consider is a blog. Now, these blogs are great because they position you as a thought leader with valuable HR insights and content relevant to your target audience. But make sure you're going to commit if you're going to do this. There's nothing worse than a rarely updated blog. So if you're going to blog, then blog. If not, just put a page called blog in your menu. But when people click on that, they get taken to your LinkedIn. That way, if you do want to, you know, create articles that position you as a thought leader with valuable HR insights, then it's not some, you know, afterthought blog. They actually get taken to LinkedIn where your credibility is unsure. And blogging is great, as I say, for thought leadership and SEO. So you get to the top of Google when people are looking for answers to their problems. But it only works if you commit to it. SEO especially only works if you commit to it. It's a long game. The next page you have to have is a contact page. Make it easy for potential clients to reach out to you with a clear form and contact information. So you choose whether or not to have your mobile in there. For me, I wouldn't bother. I just have an email address or a contact form. But that's up to you to decide. Either way, there should definitely be a page where someone can get in touch with you. The next important page to have is a lead magnet page. A lead magnet is something valuable that you're offering to your target market, something that solves their problems for them. And that provokes them to give you their email address in exchange for that lead magnet. once you get their email address, you know, you can sell to them repeatedly and forever until they buy, die, or unsubscribe. And we'll talk about email marketing in another podcast because it's a huge topic. But for now, trust me when I say that if people are coming to your website and you're not trying to capture that lead, then you're missing out on a lot of potential revenue and your website isn't effective as it should be. One thing that we do need to talk about is using your website to show your credibility. Now, whether or not you have a dedicated page to this is up to you, but there's a few ways that you do need to use your website to show your credibility. Firstly, case studies and testimonials. This is where you showcase your success with concrete examples and social proof. Have the case study in a story format so it's interesting for people to read. Talk about the pain that the client was in, what they tried, why that hadn't worked. Then talk about how they met you. Talk about the next steps. Talk about what you did for them. Talk about the end result. Ideally, you'll have the testimonial or, you know, even better, a video testimonial to cement the proof of this. These case study stories are really important because they showcase your expertise, but they also help your audience to see that you've helped people with problems similar to their own. That way they can see that you can help them too. In terms of testimonials, use screenshots of email feedback or where people have left recommendations for you on LinkedIn. And include a picture of the person leaving the review so it seems more believable if you're just using their email screenshot. We trust faces, so you've got to have the face there. I see so many testimonials and reviews where people have just written out the nice words that people have left for them. And I always wonder, you know, where's the evidence that people actually said that? I'm not saying people are lying, and maybe I'm just cynical, but the phrase trust but verify comes to mind. You also want to put brandings of companies you've worked with and any mentions you've had in the press. People will associate you with these recognizable brands, and that will help people trust you. Again, make sure to link to the relevant pages to prove these things happened. So there you have it. Your website doesn't have to be a source of stress. By focusing on clear messaging, valuable content, avoiding common pitfalls, and outsourcing anything you don't want to do or can't do yourself, you can have a website that attracts clients, showcases your expertise, and helps you achieve your business goals. Now go forth and conquer the digital world. Because remember, without marketing, there's no sales. And without sales, there's no business. So get marketing. Hey there, and thanks for listening to the Marketing Made Easy for HR Consultants podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, then please consider taking a moment to help us grow by sharing the episode with a friend or colleague, or by leaving a positive review on podchaser.com. And make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the upcoming episodes. I've been your host, Nick Pininski, and if you have any questions or want to know more about today's topic, and reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd be delighted to hear from you. See you next time. Okay, for this week's edition of LinkedIn, What's Hot and What's Not, I want to talk about profiles, specifically profile blurbs. Now, what's not hot is when people talk about themselves in the third person. If I click onto your profile, it's about you, and I assume you should have written it, because I assume you have written all the other posts that you share. So when I click on your profile and it starts talking about Laura did this, Laura did that, there's a disconnect. It feels strange. Everything else is written in the first person. I want to find out about you, but you're talking about yourself in the third person. It's just weird. It's not hot. What is hot, though, is professional pictures with posts. In fact, any kinds of pictures with posts, but definitely professional pictures with posts. These really show something about who you are and look fantastic. And because you look fantastic, then therefore I assume the service that you're offering is fantastic. So yeah, if possible, definitely share a professional picture with your posts. And that's it for this week's edition of LinkedIn, What's Hot and What's Not. If you've got any suggestions for what you want to see featured here, then let me know. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Bye for now.